everyone, and welcome to the celebration of life. I am in the family room instead of in my office tonight, which is very exciting. We have been talking about this. We talked about it in our call last Friday with some of our representatives, that we wanted to start creating a little bit more of a sense of community. So I am going to be right here in the family room with those that are here tonight, and I want to invite all of you, wherever you are, to just kind of join us here in this family room discussion about these principles. Just a couple of things. If you want to come off of mute, just press star 6 and just say, Dave, 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 and I'll acknowledge you, and you'll be able to participate. Second of all, just want to let you know that this next week we will not be having this call. It's the only week in the year that we don't have it, between Christmas and New Year's. This is a time when we spend time with our family, and we're very excited to be able to do that with them and encourage you to do likewise with yours, and we'll be back with you on January 4th. Is that correct? January 4th for our next call. This is going to be a little different format tonight, because those who are with us, and we'll encourage everyone to come on and come right up in here and join us, we're going to talk about equality tonight. And while we're talking, we're going to get some input from those who are with us and invite those who are on the call to also participate. And when you do, I'll do my very best tonight to let those here in the family room know your questions. And I'll do likewise with those who ask questions in the family room or make comments. If it's appropriate, I'll just give you the headset here in the family room and you can talk so everybody can hear you better. Very excited about this process. This is an interesting day. Awakening of some principles and a conversation about the perfect topic. You know, it's interesting how these topics come up just in time for exactly where we are in our lives. Isn't it? Everyone's nodding yes. Anybody on the phone nodding, saying yes? You know, we go through the six qualities. We've talked about connecting with people and learning intrinsic validation, how to step into someone's world and create a safe place, the benefits of that. We've talked about using our mind creatively and constructively so that we can receive inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems that will ignite our passion and drive our focus and discipline and effort and action. Just moving cell phones away from the phone, getting a little feedback. We talk about the importance of being present in the now in passion-driven action. It's interesting that as we start to learn these principles, that we might find ourselves driving down the road one day, actually experiencing one of these moments. Anybody had one of those moments? I'm having more and more of those moments. It's like, oh my goodness, I'm supposed to know this stuff, right? And I had some breakthroughs this week of rather significant proportion. I understand the mathematics very well of this particular assessment that we're using. And there's a measurement that we've talked about for a long time. That measurement has application in what we're going to discuss today. I want to isolate it just for a moment, because we're going to be talking about discipline and structure. This is not our favorite topic. And this particular measurement is a self-esteem measurement, but it has to do with systems thinking, which is related to discipline and structure. If you have your assessment open, go to the measurement Valiant. Now, we know this pattern, and we're seeing this pattern play out with so many people right now because of the economic situation. Goal-oriented, on the right-hand side, goal-oriented, has us vividly visualizing. How many of us in the room have orange or red goal-oriented? Everybody's nodding their head. Most people do, that are entrepreneurial, seeking to gain more in their life. If it's not goal-oriented, it's analytical directly across from it, pragmatic down below it, or honorable above it. Those all have the same kinds of implications, but the most common is goal-oriented by itself. We have this vivid visualization of what we want to create in our lives. Now, Justin's going to start smiling in just a moment because we had a wonderful conversation around this topic this afternoon. How many of us visualize things being different than they are today? Anybody feeling that? Justin was talking to me this afternoon about spending 8 years building a business. And I knew him and coached with him during that 8-year period. I know how hard he worked. He was unbelievable. Chad's here with us. During that same period, he was traveling around the country from here, from Utah to Chicago to Florida, just exhausted. Chad, I don't think would mind if I told you that he had some struggles with kidney stones. And I remember talking to him one day when he was out in the parking lot in the car. He had just passed a kidney stone. He was weeping. It was that painful. And he had to go in and deliver a meeting. So he just sucked it up, went in on the stage. Nobody had a clue. Went back out in the car and just started crying again because it's just so painful. Now, I've often said kidney stones are God's way of helping men appreciate childbirth. sorry if that offends anyone. I can hear the women saying, not even close. But watching these two people spend the time they've spent, and then watching the real estate market begin to crumble, and with it their business, and all of a sudden waking up one morning and all of that work had resulted in nothing other than memories. The money was gone, the experience, and living with that moment, it's not what they visualized. These guys are natural creators. They know how to create a vision and do the millimeters of creation and make it happen. They are not afraid to do the work, not afraid at all. Well, how many of us, and I'll talk about me in a moment because I'm included in this discussion, how many of us have visualized, clearly visualized, something different than what we're currently experiencing? Well, we know when that happens, because of the strength of this measurement, we've had that same brain chemistry and brain circuitry firing, which simply means the mind thinks that's what's real. It's attached to it. It's really attached. And it's very resistant to letting it go. And we wake up in the here and now. Now, what's it like? Some of us still have some things. Some of us have lost some things. Some of us could lose more things. It's a very interesting time in history, is it not? So here we are, and we're going, ah. By now, I thought I would be had this conversation with a couple of you today. By now I thought it would be. It's not that we're not grateful. Dang it, it's just not turning out the way we visualized it. And it's so real in the mind that the body is now reacting. Get that knot in our stomach. It starts to shut down our mind. We start to get swamped and overwhelmed and discouraged. And when that happens, we know that we go to one of three places. One, we start questioning our ability to do. That's our confidence. I'm not sure I can even do this. If I got the capacity to do this, the ability, the money, the time. That's the first thing. That's the most common place we go, confidence, that characteristic. The most common next characteristic is what we now call whole and complete. That's the very first one. This is the richest, deepest, most important measurement in our life. It's how do we value ourselves, our worth. We start questioning our worth. Maybe I'm not worthy of success. That must be why it's not turning out the way I visualized it. Maybe that's it. Now, I don't know that we have a conscious discussion like this with ourselves. We just find ourselves questioning our worth. We wake up one day and we question our worth. It's the third one that I got to feel a little bit, and it brought a new perspective. It's valiant. See valiant? Valiant is like 5th measurement down on the right-hand side. Now, valiant has a very interesting measurement. It's me. I'm an intrinsic, priceless thing, right? So are you. And the question is, how do I feel about how I'm fitting in the world? How do I fit? You might hear yourself make comments like, is it too late? Did I miss the train? Am I too old? Now, that's one I would have. You know, I get together these young whippersnappers and what they're doing on computers and social marketing. It's hard for me to keep up with Facebook. I mean, I have to admit, it's a new place. But Facebook, LinkedIn, all of these things, it's just everybody's just so involved in meetup meetings and all these kinds of wonderful things, and I'm just trying to catch on. So I would say my dialogue might be, have we missed out? It's where do I fit in the world? It's not am I worthy? It's not can I do it? It's does it matter? Is there any significance? Can I really bring any value to the world? Where do I fit? Well, I wanted to mention this to you tonight because I'm feeling this from so many of you. It's so easy in this moment to go, because economics for many are requiring that we downsize and change our lifestyles. Matter of fact, it's wise. If you listen to Dave Ramsey, you know, you'd sell everything that's consumer-oriented, pay off every debt you ever have or could have, and that would be a great way to live, right? Well, I can tell you, Ramona and I made that decision this week. We put the Range Rover up for sale. Mine, she's going to keep hers, but I put mine up for sale. She said I can drive it. We put it up for sale yesterday. It was time. It was time. There's just too much money tied up in it. It could be better used elsewhere. It's time. Now, I've been preaching for a long time that I'm not attached to my things. Oh, my goodness. Saturday, I'm cleaning this thing up, getting it ready, you know? And I caught myself getting emotional. I mean, like, tearful emotional. I love this car. It's just such a wonderful vehicle to drive. I didn't think I was really ego-connected, but I was. You know, you have that thing cross your mind, well, what will your neighbors think, or what will people think? I mean, you finally let it all go. That's what it's telling you. It's not a big deal, you know? It was on Saturday, and it was on Monday morning when I got up at 6 o'clock to take the photos, to put them on here locally at KSL.com. As a matter of fact, if anybody wants to buy it, go to KSL.com. It's a 2007 Range Rover. I'm the original owner. Great buy. If you want to do it. But I'm going to downsize. Because today it requires it. The fact that we make these decisions doesn't make us successful or unsuccessful. It says we're starting to think with good common sense, without concern for how other people might perceive us. It would be very sad to get into trouble just because we're afraid of what people might think, right? So I share this with you for a couple reasons. One, we're going to talk about some resistance and resentments tonight because that's part of this quality. Because I was in such resistance. We kind of made this decision a few weeks ago. And then I kept saying, no, yeah, all kinds of justifications. I really found out just how ego-attached I was to the car. I mean, just was. And finally this weekend made the decision to push the switch, and Monday did it. How fun. I'm feeling much better about it now. I don't know, I might cry in the middle of the night. It's possible. But I share it with you for this primary reason. You don't need permission from me. But I think sometimes when we're teaching these principles, people look to us for leadership. And so I'm going to lead by doing it myself. Now, if you want to think less of me because I'm not driving a Range Rover, okay. I don't think that's even going to be part of the equation. even though we think that way. What are you hanging on to? What are you hanging on to? I found I'm hanging on to a lot of stuff. Anybody else hanging on? Anybody else hanging on to stuff? Isn't it painful to let some of that stuff go? And it really hurts. In the material, there's a statement. It goes like this. The real pain is not in the effort and action required to become successful. That's not where the pain is. That's driven by passion. The real pain is in the resistance to surrendering to whatever's required. Whatever's required. I'm sorry, Michelle? Sure, I'll be happy to read that again. So the real pain is not, and by the way, this is a quote right from your material. You can go to quality number 4 and actually pull this quote. You can actually download the audio transcription from the audio. This is right off. I pulled a couple pages off of it tonight because I wanted to make sure that I can't say any better than it was written when it was written. So here it is. The real pain is not in the effort and action required to become successful. So we're sitting wherever we are today, and we want to make a better life. We want to create a better life. The pain isn't in the effort and the action. That's driven by passion. The pain, the real pain, is in the resistance to surrendering. And it goes on and says, can you feel it? Here we stand on the edge of the pool. I just want you all to vision this pool in front of you. Success is on the other side. We can only get there by swimming across the pool, but we are afraid of water. Are we afraid of that unknown? But what will people think of me, or what happens if, or all those kinds of thoughts we can have. On top of that water, on top of that, the water feels cold. Stick your toe in there. It's not pleasant. It doesn't feel good. I like this warmth of where I am. Well, if economics say, can't be there. The cold water is an option, but it's not one we would choose. How difficult is it for us to go into free fall, trust, embrace, engage, surrender, and jump in? I suppose the most important thing I could share with everyone tonight is for us to start developing an attitude of consciously letting go of resistance, identifying what it is, and jumping in. We had a conversation this afternoon. We've been doing some research on our website. Justin and Chad have. And they have determined from their research that half the people who come to take the assessment don't have speakers or headphones to hear anything. Now that's a problem, isn't it? Half do, but only half will listen. We've heard numbers of people say, yeah, I took the assessment. What did you think of when you listened to the audio? And they'd say, what audio? Come on, that's the whole guts of the thing. The solution that was recommended was that we put a video on the front homepage. Their speakers aren't on. They'll turn them on to watch a video and have me just share. Why are you here? Why are you taking this assessment? What are you about to experience, and why is it so important for you to go through this experience? Then when you're taking the assessment, having some instructions, a video instructing you, when the results come out, kind of a brief debrief of the assessment. I know enough about the assessment, have an idea where a lot of the common things may be occurring. Not exact colors, but kind of where to point. Oh. I don't know about you, but I'm tired. Anybody else tired? I am so ready for a Christmas holiday. How about you? Yeah. We've been pushing really hard for a long time. Hasn't everybody? Everybody here been pushing and pushing and pushing? The last thing I want to hear is we need to do one more thing to this assessment report. I still remember the first time that I recorded those little recordings for the measurements. They were 5 minutes long. I thought, how can I ever tell somebody in just 5 minutes what this measurement could mean? Then we did a beta test. People listened to an average of 2 bars and quit. It was just overwhelming. It was too long. In the internet environment, they're not going to spend 5 minutes times 36 measurements. It's not going to happen. You got to cut them down. So I said, okay. Now imagine, every measurement has 7 recordings, depending on where you are, where you placed it. That's a lot of recordings. So I cut everything down and record 2.5-minute versions. I didn't know how I was going to fit it in 2.5 minutes. Then we beta tested it. Guess what the answer was? Still too long. Yeah, you got it. Anybody trying to figure out how to create success and they keep doing things hoping that's going to be the answer, and you do everything, you pour your heart into it, you work and work and work, and it doesn't work! They came back and said they need to be 20 seconds long. There is no way I can take this aircraft hangar and point a little teeny laser beam in one little speck of the corner and give them 20 seconds and have it work. Well, fortunately, I had personally debriefed 3,000 assessments at that point, so we got as close as we could get. Well, surprisingly accurate, isn't it? Not always perfect, and it's not the exact measurement for everyone, but it's close enough to help people kind of hone in and go, well, for me, it works like this. It helps us get in the right space. Well, after all of that and all the work, the last thing I wanted to hear is now we need to do videos. You know my biggest concern and resistance to doing a video? Anybody want to guess?
It might not work.
It might not work, I hear in the back. Yeah, that's possible, but that's really not it. It's the work required, which is considerable. And two, I produced and directed 200 television commercials. Average cost between $100,000 and $300,000, and that's how I think. And I'm thinking, well, they're telling me, let's just get in front of a camera and just talk. It's going to be okay. That brings up the second issue. I have a radio face. I'm hoping somebody's chuckling on the phone, too. Yes. What is going on for you every time you do something? Can you feel it? It's just one more thing, the resistance to doing the one more thing. And Og gives us some amazing instruction around this title. It's in quality number 3. I'll persist until I succeed. Has anybody read this one? He says, the prizes of life are at the end of each journey. Now, a journey could be just a day. A journey could be, okay, you record 5 minutes, then you record 2.5, then you record 20 seconds. Those are all journeys. And they're not near the beginning. They're just not near the beginning. And it is not given to me to know how many steps are necessary in order to reach my goal. Failure I may still encounter at the 1,000th step. A lot of frustration is that when someone really gets into these principles, they start to have an impact in their life, right? But bringing people into that process, you know, the 1,000th step. Yet success hides behind the next bend in the road. Never will I know how close it lies unless I turn the corner. And here's the advice. Always will I take another step. I found myself in resistance. I thanked Justin after for pushing me a little bit, because I was hanging on to my frustration. If that is of no avail, I will take another and yet another. In truth, one step at a time is not too difficult. I will persist until I succeed. Well, as we're letting go of resistance, this is discipline and structure. And the very first thing is, there are rules. There are rules for success. I was just watching the Sports Center a few minutes ago, and they were interviewing Michael Vick and his coach, Andy Reid. And they ask for Andy, what do you think Michael Vick learned since he's been brought back in to football? And he said, he's learned that there are rules for Michael Vick. That's an interesting comment, isn't it? Even Michael Vick has rules he needs to obey. We all have rules. There are rules, and when we break them, there are consequences. There just are. Now, if you're a God-fearing person, we can be forgiven, but we may not miss some of the consequences. That's just part of the process. So if we're going to resist the rules, we're going to have a challenge. Now, I want you to write on a piece of paper this word, S-T-R-A-I-T. S-T-R-A-I-T. What does that spell? Straight. There is a straight and narrow way. That may be hard to accept. It's not S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. The code for the call, there it is, without that. Okay? Good, somebody's trying to get on the call. S-T-R-A-I-T, straight and narrow way. Now, I've shared this with you before if you've gone through this particular quality, but I've got a good friend who is a steep-sea fisherman and has a boat in Alaska. And he says, when you get up in the islands of Alaska, there are some rocks that are like 2 and 3 feet below the surface. That's it, certain tides. And if you don't know where they are, and you're just going your way, I'm going to go from here to that island, and off you go, you will inevitably tear the hull out of the bottom of your boat. It's just going to happen. He said, there are charts so that you know you turn left here, you turn a little right here, you work your way on the circuitous route. It's not the shortest point between two objects, which is a straight line, S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. This is a straight, which means there are rocky shoals, and you're working your way through this straight. It's a different kind of straight. And there are rules that govern how to get through the straight of challenges in our lives so that we can become successful. But how many of us are in such resistance to rules, policies, and procedures that we just want to do it our way? Remember the song, and I'll do it my way? I won't sing it for you. I'll throw you out. Yeah, great. Well, do it your way and take the bottom out of your boat and spend all your time on the shore trying to repair it, then get back in and take the bottom out of your boat and stop and repair it. Well, the person who's following the rules of success is navigating and submitting and surrendering to the rules. We don't want to surrender. We want to hang on. We're in resistance. I want to introduce you to the word. It's called obedience. I use that word because I want the hair on the back of your neck to actually raise up. Obedience. Ah. Obedience. I want you to write this down. Obedience is an invitation to freedom. An invitation to freedom. To the very freedom you desire. Isn't that interesting? I want this. I'm going to do it my way. Well, you probably won't get this. You'll just get the hull of your boat ripped out. That's going to be the truth of it. Now, if you are obedient to the rules that govern the activity you're involved in, you obey them, you'll actually get there and achieve the very thing you're seeking. But how many of us are instinctually resistant to that thought of obedience? Ah! It's restrictive. It's confining. It's controlling. Those words sound familiar? Yep. People are nodding saying, absolutely, that's it. Actually, it's guiding. It's guiding. And when we follow, it guides us through that circuitous route to the very place we seek to go. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about surrendering from these challenges. It says, when you think about standing on the threshold of your life and you've decided that today is your day to jump, to let go, to surrender, and if you've read this material or listened to it, I share the story of Cindy Ragsdale, a friend of many of ours, who at age 50 decided to celebrate her birthday by skydiving. That wouldn't be my choice for 50, but, you know, how fun. and talking about getting on the edge of that airplane and jumping. Kevin Hall talks a little bit about that in Aspire, just jumping off. If this is your day to do that, to let go, to surrender, what thoughts might be running through your mind? Here's some. Is there any fear about how long this will take? Because I'm desperate. It's short. If I don't get it done by, and we're trying to put an arbitrary deadline on the universe, you know, like, it's got to be done by. Well, I can see the powers of the universe going, well, yeah. Well, let's get started and see how much you can get done by then. You might not get finished, but you'll be a lot further ahead than you are right now. How much time it will take and whether or not it will work. This is the resistance I had this afternoon. Got a lot of people taking the assessment, a lot of people getting involved in the program. But we want to take this to masses of people and have it run really smoothly. And there are some changes that need to be done. And I keep going, but what happens if it doesn't work? And Justin's going, Dave, you wrote this material. Is it true or not? You know, I didn't write it. I was there at 4 o'clock in the morning. It came from another power. And then he says, well, case closed. Is there any frustration, though this is a sensitive one, about how much money it will take, how much time, how much energy, and how much you may have wasted in the past? That's part of our discussion today. Oh, I worked for 8 years. I've gone for 10 years. So what? So what? Is there any fear about what might be required to be a partner with the power that governs abundance? Because you're going to become a partner to speed this up. You're going to want to step into people's worlds and address their needs, because that will be one way that you'll speed up the process. You're going to want to get divinely inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems that will ignite your passion and drive your focus and discipline, effort, and action. Any issues between you and that power that have been unresolved? Is there any fears around that? That's the question. It says, if you've been trying to avoid or deny that this power exists, have any inconsistencies developed between your public, private, and secret life? This is kind of sensitive and personal, but just reflect on it. Is there any fear about what might happen if the truth were revealed? Is there any doubt about your worth, your worthiness, your ability, natural genius, and magnificence? Any fear about standing naked on the stage of life, free from crutches, excuses, and safety nets, fully responsible and accountable for the intentional creation of your life? Wow. Will you choose to sit down afraid to surrender, or will you jump? Now I know for those of you who've been on this call before, I've shared this, and for those who are new, I want to share a story with you, because it happened right here in this home, where we are right now, over in the office. For 2 years, I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and worked on intentional creation. That's no exaggeration. My sweetheart's here, she would call me on it. And I would write from 4 to 8. And then we would coach through the day, and then if I could had any energy left, I'd try to do a little bit at night before I went to bed and start all over the next day. And I was working on this quality. And I'd been listening to my iPod. I have Josh Groban, and that probably dates me, but I really love his music. And there's a song entitled Let Me Fall. It's got kind of a haunting melody. And I wasn't sure what he was talking about. I was afraid he was saying, let me fall, as in, let me fall from grace. You know, like, that's what he wanted to do. And I'm going, I don't want to do that. But there was something that drew me to the song that morning. And I pulled it up on my iPod, and I was listening to it. And because of my hearing, I just couldn't. I think it's a generational thing. You can't quite make out lyrics. You know, my kids listen to these rap songs, and they're singing along with them, and I'm going, well, it doesn't make any sense, but I was trying to listen to Josh, and I could pick up a little bit. I thought, why don't I go on the Internet and see if these lyrics are published somewhere? And they were. And I began reading the lyrics while I was listening to the song. I don't mind telling you, I was weeping. I was emotionally moved at a very visceral level. because he was speaking to this very topic. It was so inspired, because I felt inspired to listen to the song that morning, go listen to the lyrics, and there turned out to be a really good reason for it. It was inspired. In one of the stanzas, he sings this: let me fall, let me climb. Does that seem like a paradox? We don't climb until we jump. So let me jump so I can climb. That's what he's saying. Let me fall, let me climb. There is a moment when fear and dreams must collide. Wow, anybody there? You have dreams? Anybody have any fears? What happens when they collide? Resistance, resentment, frustration, overwhelm, self-esteem challenges. Can you feel all those all that dialogue going on? Someone I am. I am. That's me stepping back, alert and conscious. Awake. Stepping back from my thought processes. Someone I am is waiting for my courage. Because I'm right now buried in all these thoughts and discouragements, right? But the someone I really am is waiting for me to do something about this. The one I want, the one I will become, will catch me. I know that to be true. It was great to have that reminder this afternoon. To get re-energized about taking the next step, jumping out of the airplane, surrendering, being in obedience, doing the things necessary, discipline and structure. It says in the material, once we are determined to jump. Are we determined? How about tonight? Is everybody ready? This would be a great time just before Christmas to make this decision to jump. To trust, to let go. To be free from the tethers of resistance and rebellion. I thought I'd let go of them. I'm finding it's kind of like peeling an onion. You know, you let go of one layer and you just find another one, you know. Resistance and rebellion. Or do we want to be comfortable? This resistance and rebellion is caused by fear. We can finally take the leap, trusting that the one I will become will catch me. And we can add to that, the power that governs abundance will willingly stand by my side and be my active partner. This can only happen when we surrender to resistance. We want it to happen before, don't we? Yep. We surrender our resistance, our rebellious and often self-centric lives. That's me. Take our foot off the brake. Go into passion-driven action while focusing on bringing abundance to the lives of those we meet. While on our path, instead of holding fast and floundering, is it time to let go and be free to flourish? I want us all to be open to the possibility tonight that the very things we're resisting and trying to hang on to are the very things that are keeping us from realizing the very dreams that we have. Isn't that odd? Is that a paradox? Kind of confusing. We do want an easy button, don't we? Wouldn't it be nice if we could just push an easy button and everything would be okay? Perhaps. I look back at the last time there was a crisis in the economy in Southern California, and even though it took 10 years to pay back that $1 million of debt, the lessons learned were priceless. Priceless. Well, if things keep going the way they seem to be, we may have some more lessons to learn, all of us. We can learn them quicker, get out of it sooner, if and only if we do what? Say it to yourself. Surrender. Surrender. That's it. So, may we have the courage to do so. take a look at your assessments. It's on the left-hand side. It's the third measurement down. It's called disciplined. Now, about 97% or more on this call have an orange or red disciplined, most likely orange, and we're resisting discipline. This measurement is at the intrinsic, deepest level. Now, that doesn't mean we can't be disciplined about things we want to do. We can be. But when someone tries to impose it on us, or the economics imposes it on us, or some other outside force imposes it on us, we are going to be naturally resistant to the structure. Just know that. And also know that thought process is out of balance. It's not healthy. Now, to think outside the box is to be entrepreneurial. To resist structure is to die. It takes out the hull of our boat, right? So that's the first one. The next measurement I want you to look at is teachable. Teachable. Are you looking at your assessment, Jason? Somebody here was looking at their assessment and said flaming, his wife said flaming red. Teachable. Just take a look at that in your assessment. Teachable says, can we see the practical benefits of following someone in authority? I'm seeing smiles in the room. You're remembering assessment debriefs, and so am I all of a sudden. Yes, the reality is many of us have been in a situation that's been controlling. And we promised ourselves if we ever got out of it, we'd never allow ourselves to get into another one. Does this sound familiar? And if that's the case, and we are almost rebellious about following someone in authority, that teachable could turn into an orange or red measurement. And this is the risk. We might not listen to someone's advice based on who they are and how they might approach it. It may be the most important thing for us to hear. But who they are and how they approach it, or how they sound when they say it, whether they're interesting to listen to, all of a sudden, we throw the baby out with the bathwater. Now, you can smile, because if you got a red or an orange, I just ask yourself, have you ever been employed and had a micromanaging boss? How long did you stay there? Were you fired, or did you quit? Have you managed in your life to find ways to have more autonomy, independence? Have you found employment where people aren't micromanaging you? Most people do, or they just go from job to job to job because it's frustrating. It might be time to take a look at this and go back and say, what created this? And am I going to ruin the rest of my life because of a bad experience with one person? Am I going to be in resistance to information that may bless my life just because someone offended me? That boat captain was such a jerk, I'm just going to drive up this channel just the way I want to, just to show him I'm right. Kaboom, out goes the bow of the boat. Of the hull of the boat. Kaboom, out goes the hull of the boat. Who are we proving anything to? I want you to hear this statement and write it down if you haven't heard it already. Why is it? Everybody got that? Why is it that when our neighbor offends us, we burn down our own house? True? Yeah. Somebody offends us and we stew over it. The cortisol surging in our body, wearing out the cells, causing us to get ill. And the person offends us probably doesn't give a crap and they're home sleeping like a baby. Is this fair? Go throw acid in their face if you have to get over it, and then just get over it. I'm just kidding. Disclaimer. Why is it when our neighbor offends us, we burn down our own house? Why is it Literally, in neighborhoods, when we're offended, we burn down our own neighborhood. We've watched this historically. We burn down our own house, which means when our neighbor offends us, we take it internally, and we let it destroy us. And Teachable is a good example of that in action. Something happened at some point, and we're letting it continue to burn down our house. Maybe it's time to let it go and surrender. Be wise. Use empathy. Use good judgment. Be careful, but don't summarily dismiss advice just because you don't like who gave it or how they gave it. Maybe it's time. You want to be successful? You want to have a great and loving relationship? Because I can tell you right now, you cannot be selective with this measurement. Selective meaning I use it out in the world that way, but when I'm at home, I'm not that way. You're most likely to be more of that way at home than you are in the world, because you're more comfortable, your hair's down, you're relaxing, and there's a greater chance of this thought actually taking over. You want to have great relationships, both in business and in life? It might be time to surrender this one. Whatever caused it, what would that look like for you? May I be so bold as to make a suggestion? Teachable is one of the great barriers between man and the Supreme Being. Because the ultimate resistance to authority might be the way we're labeling and perceiving God. In other words, when people offend us, it's not unusual to assign to a power greater than us the same personality as the person who offended us. Am I confusing anyone? Think about this for a moment. We assign to God the same voice of someone who has been autocratic, who's demanding, who's restrictive, who's loud and boisterous and controlling. And we actually think maybe he's that way. I say he, that's my belief system. I don't want to offend anyone on the call. Whatever your belief system. When we start letting go of Teachable, this is an authority figure teaching us about rules and regulations and how do we respond. Maybe it's time for us to start stepping into people's worlds and getting in partnership with this power to find out just how unconditional and loving this power is. Maybe it's time to start using our mind constructively to receive inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems and find out how willing that power is to bless us with ideas to help us better serve others. Maybe it's time for us to be in passion-driven action and watch us get more ability that we desperately need in a moment, or someone placed on our path who can serve us and who we can serve. Maybe it's time to actually have those experiences so you can stop assigning to that power the voice of an ex-husband or a boss or a parent, somebody who has offended you. I just want you to know that there is that power. Hope you're okay if I say that. And I know that power to be absolutely unconditional. You won't find in that relationship what you found with that fallible person. So if someone offends you, don't burn down your house along with the wires of communication. Okay? Enough said on that. That's my personal issue. If anyone's offended, please don't be offended. If you've got Teachable Red, you might be. Just know that I'm not trying to force anything on you. I just want you to know where peace comes from. Now, next measurement is analytical. Oh, we should have some smiles with analytical. It is a pure measurement of thinking about thinking. That's, we're measuring whether you think about thinking and to what extent. If it's blue, it's pretty balanced. You can think about issues and solve problems, but it doesn't overwhelm you. It's not like it's going to be obsessive. You turn into a light green, there's a little bit more of it. Orange, there's a lot more of it. And red, there's just a whole heck of a lot more of it. and it is just enough to just drive you crazy. Now, the gift in this measurement, if you step back from it and manage it, the gift from this measurement is that you can give it a problem, and it'll work on it till it solves it, if it's a solvable problem. You don't have to start your brain up. Anybody ever try to start a car when it's really cold? Maybe even a diesel vehicle when it's cold. I mean, you're just like coaxing it. Please, please. Can you imagine having a thought process like that where you need to solve a problem and you got to go, oh, man, I got to turn my brain back on. It hasn't been on for a while. You know, you're trying to get it started back up. You know, this is that employee who works just hard enough not to get fired, gets paid enough not to quit, kind of goes through the motions, comes home and has two beers and watches TV all night. Getting that brain to turn on is really hard. But almost everybody on this call has got a brain that's just constantly turning. Exciting thing is you don't have to put any effort into the thinking. It does it automatically. Your effort has to be put into shutting it off. So what do you do to shut it off? Sleep. It's number one answer. Anybody else here in the room? What else do you do to shut it off? Ramona? Watch TV. Yeah, television is anesthetizer. It numbs the brain. Yep. Anything else? Anybody here do yoga or listen to music or read a book? Something to occupy this space so we can shut it off. Yeah. Entrepreneurs usually are doing something conscious to shut it off. Now, there are three risks I want you to be aware of. Risk number one. You're going to be sitting with someone that you care about, except for you're going to be somewhere else. What does that mean? Physically, you're in the chair. Mentally, you're somewhere else. You're not present. You might occasionally hear someone say, here, please. You know, wake up. Where are you? What's going on? You might hear that. Get a few smiles here. How about those on the phone? It's very common. Two, you might be thinking about doing things, and when you get ready to go do it, you start thinking of an even better way to do it. And when you go to do it, you start thinking of an even better way to do it. And then you get ready to do it, and you think of an even better way to do it. It's paralysis by analysis. We love it. It's addictive work. It's so exciting. It's so thrilling to be thinking and thinking and thinking about all these cool things we're going to do that we never do. Second risk. Third one, and the most deadly of all, is that when we think this much, our mind gets really attached to the idea. Really attached. And when someone doesn't agree, this thought process will go into a right-wrong battle. Because it processes dualistically, which means all or nothing. Not part or nothing, all or nothing. Right, wrong, win, lose, life or death. That's how it processes. So what's our obligation? I'm going to stand up and just demonstrate for those of you who are listening. I'm looking at this thought process in the middle of the room, and I am stepping back from it and observing it and going, do I need to be right about this? And I'm going to teach you in a few moments how to let go of the need to be right. Do I need to be right about this? This is the single hardest thought process to step back from. Just so you know. We talk about that in the whole process of becoming an intentional creator, our goal is to step back from our thoughts, become conscious of them, step one. Step two, begin the process of actually shifting them, changing them, so they're not so much, don't create so many problems for us. This is the hardest to step back from. Because this particular thought process causes all kinds of chemicals to be released in our body. We feel this one. How can that not be us? I am angry. No, we just feel angry. We need to be right about it. Well, we learned this great lesson. Everybody ready? Just write 95% on your paper. 95%. 95% of the population, that's 9.5 out of 10 people, that's virtually everyone, and there are probably no exceptions on the phone tonight, cannot separate their idea from their self-worth. I'm holding up my left hand and then my right hand. I'm intertwining my fingers and squeezing my palms together. My left hand is my idea. My right hand is my self-worth. my self-worth. Now point out a flaw in my idea without crushing my self-worth. I dare you. It will not happen. No matter how convincing you can be, no matter how logical you want to be, could you just listen to me, you might say. Please, you doesn't matter if I listen, you're crushing me. You're crushing me. Just know that when we need to be right about an idea, 95% of the time, we are crushing people. Everybody got that? Well, we have some other thought processes in here, characteristics, that just amplify this. Methodical. If it's orange, we just flat out don't want to listen to somebody else's idea. It's true. Consistent. Can we keep a structure and honor it? How many times have we promised ourselves, I will do that on Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock? Well, it's Tuesday. Why do we make it Thursday when we're absolutely going to do it at 2 o'clock? Why would we do that, Jason? You're not going to make it? It's a safe place, isn't it? It's far enough away that it's safe. I could set it Thursday, like Thursday's not going to ever come, you know? Thursday. What happens when we get to Thursday and it's 10 o'clock, tick, 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 11 o'clock, tick, 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 noon, tick, 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 1? Can you just feel it? And you get to 2 o'clock and you're looking at this big, ugly task that you really don't want to do, and you go, oh, yes, I need to move the laundry from the washing machine into the dryer, right? Everybody got it? Mom's sick. You know, if I don't call her this afternoon, she'll be gone. I need to call her real quick. I've been forgetting. She'll think I don't love her. You'll think of a million wonderful things to do, and none of them have anything to do with keeping that commitment. Just know that. Well, that's enough on the characteristics. Let's go into one process, and my goodness, time is just flying by tonight. Take this home with you. I want everybody on the call this week. And you've got a perfect opportunity. It's Christmas. This could be the single greatest Christmas present you give to anyone. Anyone. You ready for it? Pick out somebody in your life who has been most impacted negatively by these thought processes. Maybe they burned down your house or offended you and you burned down your house. It might be rebuilding a bridge to someone, just reconnecting. It's most likely someone that you have needed to be right, and you got into a little right-wrong battle. Anybody here ever had one of those? Never. Yep. We want you to pick that person. This is your homework assignment. Then you want to schedule a time to sit down with them, and what you're going to say is simply this. I've been doing some coaching, and some of my measurements suggest that I've got a thought process that's really obsessive. I think a lot, and when I do, I get attached to my ideas. I expect a chuckle sometime around here by some of these folks. Some of them are going to be scared to death because they're not sure where you're headed, and they don't want to get their head bit off. That's possible. Don't be offended if you're not in this position. And you're going to say to them, what's it been like? Now, you can get this by going to Quality 4 and looking at the section, the need to be right. You can just go review it before you do it. What's it been like to be in a relationship for, in my case, 36 years, with someone who always needs to be right? That's what we do. Very simple. And then we listen. This has got to be a power session, which means we are totally focused on blessing the life of the person we're talking to. You bite your tongue. You don't say anything. You get to say a couple of sentences along the way, and they are, I'm listening, or tell me more about that, or is there anything else you'd like to share? And be careful, it's not, is there anything else you'd like to share? I mean, you just beat the crap out of me. It's got to be kind. Is there anything else you'd like to share? And then just listen. And when they're done, you simply say, I'll be working on that one. Thank you. I'll be working on that one. You can almost hear them saying, we'll see. Now be prepared, because within 24 hours, if you've had a good experience and they've said something to you that wasn't right, oh, last Thursday when you said this, well, I didn't say that. You got to bite your tongue because you can't actually say that, but your mind is going, I didn't say it that way. That's not what I meant. And you're going to start stewing on it. Not every one of you, but many of you will start stewing on it. You'll be thinking about it. You won't be able to let it go because they've now offended you and you're burning down your own house. But you're going to do this right because Dave's told me I need to love them. So I'm going to walk into the kitchen, for an example, if it's a spouse. I'm going to put my arms around their waist while they're standing at the counter. And I'm going to say, oh, sweetheart, I really enjoyed our conversation last night. Can you hear the whole thing coming? The need to be right. There's just one thing. Got it? Just one thing. I was really sad. Can you hear the manipulative dialogue? I was really sad that you misunderstood what I said last Thursday and it bothered you for so long. This thought process has to be right. It has to fix everything that's not working. Everything. These thoughts will find the one sock out of place when you're working with your children. It'll find the one thing that's not done correctly in a relationship. It's got to be right. This is the single greatest cause of divorce, this measurement. More so than money. It's when two people in the same relationship have the same measurement and need to be right. What a Christmas gift to give to someone. Amazing Christmas gift. I've had some very emotional experiences about this. Now, we're not going to meet for 2 weeks. My email is dave@augmandino.com. I want your stories. When you do this, send me your story. I collect them. These are the most tender stories I collect. I've said before, if there could be teardrops on an email, I've seen them. Now, someone sent me emails and said, you know, I asked, and they said, no, you don't need to be right. It's wonderful. Isn't that great? I'm not indicting you. I'm just encouraging you to explore the possibilities. And when you're talking to the person, create a safe place for them to really be honest. You don't want to find out there isn't a problem. That's not your objective. Your objective is to honor them and create a safe place where they can really share, safely share. That's the gift. It's the most precious gift we can give any human being. It is to simply listen and acknowledge their right to be on this planet, that their thought process matters, that their life actually matters. Be careful not to take it personally. It's not about you. Remember, you're back here, whole and complete, aware. You're doing the exercise. You're talking about a thought process that sometimes you listen to and you react to. That's what we're talking about. Now we've gone over our time. Thank you for being patient with us. Everybody have their exercise? The need to be right? Now the scroll you're going to want to listen to this week is scroll number 7. Next 2 weeks, I'll laugh at the world. Man is most comical when he can't laugh at himself. Step back from this and start to laugh a little bit when it takes over, because it can be quite comical, some of the things we do and the silly things we're willing to crush somebody to be right about. I mean, some of them are really silly. I joke about the topping on the pizza. I joke about it because of a real-life situation. Pepperoni, no sausage. Pepperoni, no sausage. Bam, 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 bam. I'm leaving. I'm done. Over pepperoni or sausage. Have some fun with this week. Let us let go. Surrender. Let's be okay with obeying whatever rules are required for success. If we've broken some of them and we're paying some consequences, let's do everything we can to get out of it as quickly as possible. I think that power is pretty gracious. And once we make that decision, things can start to turn around for us. Let's work our way out of this. We may not survive with everything we currently have that's stuff. It's okay. It's just stuff. It's character building. What an interesting time in history. Closing. Let us figure this out. this out in our own lives. Because I sense in the months to come, there are going to be a lot of our friends who are going to need us to be there for them. Oh, if everybody could know this. But everybody doesn't. Yet almost everybody's going to be subjected to what's coming. That's not a doomsday prophecy. It's reality. It's reality. Well, thanks, everybody. Have a great Christmas. Wonderful Christmas and a new year. We'll see you back here on January 4th. Now, I want you to envision where you're sitting right now, in your home or your office, wherever you are, having 5 or 6 or 10 of your friends gathered around. I want you to imagine, instead of listening on the phone, you're watching this on your computer as a live broadcast. Would that be fun? Coming right from this family room to wherever you are. And that when we end the call at this point, you would turn it off and you could engage in a conversation about what matters most. What did you learn tonight? What are you learning from the scrolls? What's happening in your life? A support group to take on your life. It's a vision we see. It's a vision we see. I want to invite you to consider that possibility, that when we meet on the 4th of January and you're listening by yourself, don't be by yourself next time. You have our permission to invite some friends to attend once for free. Have them come and listen. See if this is something that would serve them. Because January 4th is joy in the journey. Well, there's not a better way to start the new year. And then we're going to take on self-esteem. Two really powerful qualities that we'll want to have under our belts as we go into the new year. If they enjoy what we're doing, then have them talk to us or one of our affiliates or coaches so they can participate on a regular basis. I can see clearly small groups of people all over this nation gathering on Tuesday night for us to talk about what matters most. To prepare. Be ready. Consider that if you would. And we wish you the very best. Thanks, everybody. Good night.